You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. It's something that's likely to accelerate criticism of the Baghdad invasion and also accelerate calls for accountability in the wake of the invasion of Iraq, as well as tarnish the Bush administration's legacy in that country. But an unpublished 513-page federal history titled Hard Lessons, the Iraq Reconstruction Experience, suggests that much of what we heard in the immediate aftermath of the Iraq invasion was a lot of fiction, or at least extraordinary exaggerations of the progress there. The report is unpublished, but it is circulating in the government, and reporting on it is James Glanz, the New York Times Baghdad bureau chief, who co-wrote the article in today's New York Times. James Glanz joins us from Baghdad. James, thanks for being a part of the program.
Pleasure, thanks.
All right. Now, it is not unusual for the government to work on official histories of events like war, but there are aspects and narratives in this 513-page report that are unusual at best. Can you give me the highlights, especially the part about exaggerating progress in Iraq, which seems to be the sort of headline of the controversy surrounding this report?
Yeah, I think in this case, it's a report from an office we've heard from before on some of these topics. That's the Special Inspector General for Iraq Reconstruction, which is an independent federal office headed by Stuart Bowen, who happens to be a Republican lawyer. But he, in the past, he's pointed out individual cases of waste and fraud and abuse in the reconstruction program in Iraq. And there's probably now $50 billion of American taxpayer money has been spent on that task, and something like $125 billion overall. What's new here is that first he goes back to the earliest days of the planning of this effort, as early as the fall of 2002, and sort of concludes that the problems this program would have were already beginning to be apparent back then in both bureaucratic infighting and a complete underestimates of how much it would cost. And there are some anecdotes in the piece you may want to bring up that bear that out. The second is that the second new element, I think, is that he makes a strong case this time that there was actual deception on the part of the Pentagon in inflating their measures of progress. For example, at one point, the former Secretary of State Powell says that the Pentagon basically invented numbers of competent Iraqi security forces, put those out in 2003 to reassure both Iraqis and the United States that things were under control and they were making progress on that front.
Well, James Glanz, it seems as though part of what's going on in this report is a portrait of an Iraq invasion that we understood to be relatively chaotic and that there wasn't a lot of advanced planning. But it also seems as though they were responding sort of day to day on what the press needed to hear, or on a sort of message of the day approach to an enormous enterprise, which led to all kinds of amazing exaggerations and really an enormous waste of money.
I think that there's a lot of what you said in the report. Before we get further, I want to credit my collaborator on the piece, T. Christian Miller, of the nonprofit website ProPublica, did some wonderful reporting on this. But exactly, for something that ends up being a 100-year enterprise, it appears to be, as we say in the piece, a case of project officials and program officials operating by the seat of their pants, reacting to, I don't know if it's the message of the day, but the crisis of the day, constantly making hasty plans to change the overall direction of the program and never really settling down into something that you would think would be worthy of a program of that size and that importance in a country where this reconstruction was supposed to win the hearts and minds of ordinary Iraqis and sort of make the place functional enough for a fledgling democracy to thrive.
Well, I do want to put in a plug for ProPublica. It is great reporting, and it's a real success of your collaboration there between ProPublica and the New York Times that you got this out here. I don't know if you're the right person to ask, but I want to step back for a second. And is there a way of describing, you know, what this report represents in terms of a federal bureaucracy so tainted by criticism of the war in Iraq trying to get it right? I mean, are we seeing people sort of jumping ship and trying to say, hey, this was going on, this was going on, this was going on, that somehow the sort of political lock on the messages coming out of the government has been removed and we're seeing truth for sure? Or is the pendulum swinging the other way and now everyone's on the kind of everything was wrong bandwagon in Iraq, and maybe this is just as much a distorted picture?
Well, I think that, you know, you have to wait a while for views on something like that to settle down. And the report that we managed to find advanced copies from people who had seen the report outside the Inspector General's office. So I don't know that there's a definitive answer to that. I actually think that the report is very measured in its criticism, and that we're seeing the veil pulled back because you begin to see now, with the passage of time, senior characters, if you will, in this story, you know, Secretary Powell, Jay Garner, who was the first civilian administrator in Iraq before Ambassador Bremer, and virtually every other senior player in this reconstruction, now willing to discuss, frankly, what came down in 2002, 2003, 2004, and later. So I don't think that you're going to see a lot of people criticize it as something that is out to do a hatchet job on the administration's job in Iraq. In fact, I really think just the opposite, given Mr. Bowen's background as a White House official. I mean, he worked, I think, in the legal office at the White House, and
sure,
he worked for Alberto Gonzalez in Texas. He's really not inclined to push things further than they would be pushed by the evidence here. And I think in some cases he gives the administration a break, actually, rather than ramping it up as far as possible. That's just my view.
Well, having said that, James, and that begs the question then, is he underreporting perhaps some of the massive inequities, the details of the way that the U.S. implemented its policy in Iraq and the war?
Well, can you specify a little further in what sense?
In the sense of, to some of these criticisms are very harsh, as you pointed out, the notion that Colin Powell was suggesting that the Bush administration was making up numbers, that there was some question about where the accountability of where some of the money has gone. I mean, it just sounds like there was absolutely no plan, no execution, and the result of which we see today in the way that things are moving along in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think he was trying to, finger the culprits, you would say, in this case. What he's trying to do is tell a story, a history of what happened, and he's, you know, let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. I mean, there's a separate effort, and there's a chapter on this, actually, in the history there's a separate effort to bring people to account legally, which is a very high bar, of course, but he's already put a number of people in jail, and I think that there are more to come. Now, whether it really be at any kind of senior level, I don't know, and I really doubt that. I think that the people who really committed what you'd call crimes, first of all, are sort of mid-level and down officials in Iraq. I'd be surprised it could happen if it went higher than that. Now, the question is, who's to be held to account if there was real deception at sort of, the Pentagon level?
Right,
and the American public was deceived in a calculated way. I don't know.
The issue of accountability will be held for the Obama administration to deal with. But I guess at the very least, is there a sense, as a reporter, James, that, this report, and you should tell us where it goes from here, at least delivers the message that it's almost impossible, or there's a frustrating difficulty in delivering quality information at the time that it's happening to the American people, and that it's always going to be these long after the event reports that delivers the candor that we need?
Well, as you might imagine, I've been here for 5 years, and I think it would be hard to express without sputtering into incoherence, you know, how frustrating it is to get information from your own government that's not accurate, especially when later on senior officials like Secretary Powell are verifying or vouching for the fact that it wasn't accurate. Well, that, you know, we're here reporting in a war zone, trying to do our best for.
Well, we don't want you to sputter. We don't want you to sputter into incoherence. We definitely wouldn't want that. James Glantz, New York Times Baghdad bureau chief, talking about a 513-page federal history still circulating in the government. It was the subject of a report in yesterday's New York Times. Thank you, James.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.